You're listening to Split Ends with Andrew and Olga. With Andrew Barton,
yep, that one off of 10 Years Younger off the telly,
and Olga Thompson, aka Big Fat Greek Mother. Yeah, the really funny one. And in the salon chair today, it's Hits UK presenter, reporter, journalist, Mary Manderfield.
Mary, yes. Tell me about your split ends.
My actual hair split ends. The issues are that my hair is just a bit dry. I don't really do much to it. I normally have it curly, but today I thought I'll roll out of bed and see what you want to do with it.
Wait, sorry, hold up. You rolled out of bed like that?
I rolled out of bed.
Hello?
I don't use a brush, I just go like this while I'm on the tube.
Okay.
And then I can run.
You have got amazing hair. But
you look lush.
Do you know what, as well, I'm a bit more interested in... Tell me about your split life as well. I mean, your hair's one thing, but journalist, DJ, broadcaster, presenter, split life, you do it all.
Your hair story.
I try my hardest. I love my life, and I feel like I grew up around so many people who complained about their jobs, and it was like the norm to be like, oh, another day in the office, or it pays the bills. And I just grew up thinking, I don't want to be that person. That is like my biggest fear as an adult. So I didn't know anyone that worked in media, didn't know anyone that worked in broadcast. And over the past 4 years, I've just fumbled through, found some good mentors.
Is it all about the mentor?
A lot about the mentor and a lot about feedback. Everything I've done, I've just said, what did I do badly? What could I do better? I'll try and do better next time. And yeah, and now I love my life. I love my job, and I feel so lucky that I get to spend my time just chatting to people.
That's my job as well. Do you mean I just get to chat people? The grooming bit's the offshoot.
Exactly.
I mean, but the rest of it's about kind of just the chat and kind of meeting people. But do you know what? Olga hangs out with me at the salon all the time like this.
Yeah.
And she kind of listens to the story. She's like,
I like having you here.
She's stuck to the chair right now.
You should have learned to be a hairdresser, actually.
Are you any good at doing hair?
Well, my mum was a hairdresser, so I grew up kind of learning little bits and bobs. And I do my own hair. It's not too bad.
I think
you've
done a good job.
I like it.
Well, some days it's better than others, but...
Awkward. I'm not the person to do the approval, but I approve. I think you look lovely. But
don't approve of her kind of saying she does her own hair. She's putting hairdressers out of business.
Oh, yeah. You should always go to a trusted hairdresser.
Anyway, what are we going to do with your split ends? What are we going to do with your hair today?
I don't know. Just make me look
cute. Have you got any secret bits that I don't know about your hair?
I don't know if it's secret, but I do have a little undercut under here.
Ooh, we love an undercut.
So this started when I was like 21. My friend just saw a picture on Pinterest of like a triangle shaved in someone's head. And she's like, I want to do it.
Yeah.
She saw a triangle shaved in someone's head and said, I want to do it on you. So literally with our little razors that we use for our armpits, just whoop, whoop, onto the head.
Really?
And ever since, I just use it as a talking point. If I go traveling, I'll go to like a Turkish barber or I'll go to a South African barber. And I always have a different experience, even just cutting a tiny bit of hair. So.
Well, do you know what? It's cute as well when you tie it up.
Yeah.
Because it really does give somebody a completely different kind of...
It's an edge.
Edge.
It's an edge.
Yeah, different. So shall I trim up your undercut?
I would love that.
Ooh. Yeah?
Thank you. It's long overdue.
Now that's an offer.
That you've never heard before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to get Andrew around?
Yeah.
Oh, here she goes.
Here we go. Andrew is based on a hairdressing assistant that my mum had back in the 80s. And she's going to just be like, where's the girl? Let's do it for you. I'll climb my darling.
Right, remember... not quite.
Okay.
It's a bit tight.
Yeah,
it goes on like a dressing gown, Andrula.
Oh my gosh, darling, it's all right. It's all right for you.
I'm happy if you're happy.
Yeah.
Do you want some arms in it?
I think we get.
Out?
No, let's get her arms in.
Let's go. Amazing.
It's really important because I'm doing my qualification. So that's the first. Have I done that right, Andrew?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm glad you're not doing your qualifications with me. But
can I get your tea and coffee?
I'm all good, thanks,
Andrew. Biscuit. All hops.
Therapy.
I do love how that you just come and sit and chill out with me in the salon and get to meet my clients as well.
Well, I just think hair is such a big deal. It's so important because it's part of who you are. Mm. It's part of your identity. It's how you express yourself. It's it's hair is kind of like warfare, it's costume. Do you ever feel like if your hair's not right, you don't feel right? Or is that just a me kind of thing?
It's definitely not a you kind of thing. I do feel like sometimes I don't want to attach it to how I feel because it's sometimes unpredictable. But there are moments whether even like doing radio, you think radio is a job where no one's going to see you. But obviously now, like, it's being filmed or you're taking pictures or you go to events. And so, yeah, when your hair looks nice and feels nice, you come with a different energy. Like, you might be meeting someone you're nervous to meet, but you're coming as like the best version of yourself. But I'm not very, like, I'm not a risk taker with my hair. So I think maybe if I took more risks, maybe that would translate into my life.
So I better not make this undercut even bigger then.
But I just feel like it's like 2 centimetres of my head, you know what
I mean? It's still quite a daring thing though, but do you feel like you've got that undercut, it's a daring expression. Do you feel like you put it on show as and how?
Yeah, but like I'd like to shave my whole head.
Would you?
Yeah, but I'd have to talk to some people and make sure everyone's all right with that. Do you know what I mean? I'd get nervous.
What, like a short haircut or?
I would go buzz cut.
Would you?
Not today.
What stops you from doing a buzz cut?
I do think like other people's perceptions, other people's like reactions, because you know how it is when you've done something that's a bit different and you can see it in someone's eyes. They'll say, why did you do that? Or how come you chose to do that? And I feel it in other places in my life. Like I don't wear makeup on the day to day and people be like, why haven't you, you know?
People just want to comment.
Yeah. And I feel fine about it. But sometimes it's dealing with other people's reactions that actually takes a lot of your energy.
You know, it's all about kind of how you want to express yourself through your identity and your hair. But how does that translate? Because I understand that you're involved with kind of a lot of young people as well and encouraging them. And how does that work?
Yeah, I do. I go into schools and I work like with different charities and like, you know, I'll be the first person to say like, don't care what other people think, like just do you, like your life is for you. But then when it comes to yourself, it's different, isn't it? It's hard to sometimes like take your own advice. But I think what I love about a lot of young people at the moment is like their self-expression is so beautiful and I think so different to like when I was at school where it was like a big daring thing to like, you know, part your hair on the other side.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, you know, people are taking risks and like, I don't know, I think they've got a lot more role models that are being rewarded for being themselves. Even people like Billie Eilish, like they really look up to pop stars and they see her being a bit daring and they're like, oh, well, I can do that.
Do you know what's interesting about that as well? Kind of when you were a kid and you went to school and you change your haircut, even if it was just your parting, you knew you were going to get comments.
Yeah.
You'll never believe the amount of teachers that have sat in my chair and been scared about transforming and changing their hairstyle because of what the kids are going to say to them.
Yeah,
100%. We all have it in all like different areas of our life. Like, you know, whether you're on the telly or you're on social media or you're not, like we all have an audience.
Of course.
And it's all about like, are we there to entertain the audience or try and please the audience or try and challenge the audience?
Yeah,
but I think
that's,
you know, you were saying about young people kind of being able to express themselves a bit more. Yes, but also with that added layer of social media, I feel like they are also constantly on show and bombarded by which particular look they're going to adopt, which particular
aesthetic. It's all about the aesthetic.
So in a way, yes, they've got so much freedom, but almost, I don't want to say too much freedom, but there is just so much out there that it is also overwhelming and they don't know, sometimes just wanting to be themselves is hard because the self that they want to be, want to be, might not be kind of is what they see online.
Yeah 100%. It's like more freedom, but with that there's more scrutiny. Like, it's just hard. I really feel for people, young, old, everyone. Like, everyone's kind of going through something. But yeah, I think the best we can do is like try and be a good example. And like, I feel like being a good example is not in your words all the time, it's just how you show up, you just like bring yourself.
And also bringing yourself like as you are. Like, you don't have to be okay. You can be not okay and okay on the same day. Like, I woke up this morning, I wasn't feeling particularly confident like in myself. I know I come over as quite a confident person, but there are things that I'm going through and I don't feel fantastic. But then I said to myself, well, you can still hold those two things.
I can still
feel a little bit broken, which I do today, if I'm honest. But I'm also quite joyous. But I can hold both.
Is there something you do to like get yourself in that headspace of like, actually, I, even if I'm feeling a bit rubbish, like I'm just going to go and do my day and feel actually right about it.
Well, I curled my hair.
Yeah.
I said my prayer and I bought my coffee.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's a ritual.
Yeah. And it's those little things that we've got to really appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do this thing about well-being as well, where every night when I lay down to go to bed, I count five things that have happened that day that have given me joy. And it could be having walked the dog. Do you mean it could be that the weather was dry? Because it's those simple things. It doesn't have to be spectacular.
Yeah.
But it's acknowledging and giving receipt for those things that really helps our kind of mental well-being. In fact, I've taken it to the next level now.
Go on.
I don't just do five, I do 10.
Okay.
And sometimes when you get to number 7, number 8, you're kind of struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I go, do you know what? The kettle worked.
Yeah.
And I got hot water for my tea.
Oh,
yeah.
I love
do you mean?
That.
So it's the simple, simple things.
The treatment.
But Mary, what's next for you, kind of with your work and your career, what's going off?
So radio has been like a really exciting thing the past couple of months. Like finally got my own show on Hits Radio, which is
Hits Radio!
Tune in for
play
that.
All the hits, we love it. And
have you got a jingle? Can you do it?
Let's hear it.
Hits Radio, that's all I've got. But yeah, I think like radio is something I've always loved and always wanted to do. And then I think the next, not like natural thing, but I do want to do TV and like, you know, for so long, because I've just been like, I just want to figure out radio. All I want to do is get a job on radio, figure that out, and then, you know. And then I did it, and I was like, oh, okay, now I need to, like, do the next goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, TV will be the next goal for this year. So working on documentaries and more hosting. And, yeah, hopefully just having more of a reason for people to, like, switch on their TV and be like, oh, like, either that girl looks like me or, you know, I can see myself in her because, you know, I grew up in the late 90s and noughties and there wasn't as many, you know, brown faces on British TV like we do now. It was more like American shows where you could like see yourself.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm glad that has changed so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to be that person for like a 10-year-old kid to look at and be like, oh, has anyone else seen Mary Manderfield? And have that feeling.
And I bet as a 10-year-old kid, you didn't think that you were going to go to the premiere of a movie because you've just been to the Bob Marley premiere.
Literally last night, it was so fun. And like, yeah, I love like love Bob Marley's story as well. So yeah, that was just like a last minute thing with work. I was like, okay, we've got to go like prepare our questions. And you know, people like Lashana Lynch was there. And it was incredible.
Oh, you were working.
I'm always working.
Working, yeah. Every day I'm hustling.
We don't like you, Andrew. Yeah.
And that's the thing of like working in journalism is like sometimes really glam and sometimes like it is glam and it's lovely, but you also need to get the job done. Like you can go to the red carpet events, but if you don't come away with like the responses goods. From celebrities you know, questions and answers, then you know, you haven't done your job right. So always got to, you know.
You're always on. You're almost always working as a journalist because you're always keeping your eyes open and your ears open.
You know, so we're going to the MOBO Awards next week and that's, I've never been there before. So I'm excited for that. But at the same time, you know, there's all these artists in so many different categories that you're going to have to research, find out, you know, what kind of music they're releasing, what they've been up to, what's the gossip, who's dating who, what's the drama. And then you're thinking about how that translates to like the audience who aren't there. And you're like, how do you make this exciting for someone who is sat on their sofa? So yeah, your brain's constantly kind of ticking away. But yeah, when I was younger, you know, I thought there was some secret past to being in a world of media and being in a world of celebrity. And I think like you just kind of learn it's not, everyone's just kind of making it up as they go along.
I love this because for me, I've always, when I was saying, when I was young, I was much older than you, but when I was young, I always thought confidence was some magic thing that some people had in a room. And I realized that everyone is nervous. It doesn't matter how famous you get, how big you get. And for me, the only way that I can overcome nerves is by going into a room and making everybody else feel good.
I do that.
The more nervous I am, Andrew, and I've been to some big events, but the more nervous I feel, I will go in and say, I love your dress. It's so nice to be here. Can I get you a drink? And I just feel like because I'm making everybody else feel
good.
Safe and warm. I make a nice warm space. I don't know if that's everyone's way of dealing with
Well, it's true. I mean, it's like I'm often asked, what's it like to look after a celebrity and do their hair? And it made me, I had to kind of realise really early on, all I was doing their hair to help them do their job. because that's what I was employed to do.
Yeah.
Of course.
Do you mean, and by me doing their hair and making their hair look good, then they felt a bit more confident, their self-esteem high and tightened. So, listen, I'm going to be a bit cheeky because you talked about the radio show.
Yeah.
Olga will not ask you, but I'm going to be a bit cheeky.
Go on.
Can we come on? Can me and Olga come on the show?
Oh, my God, there's a little double act. Let me talk to the bosses.
Yeah, let me just...
Yeah. Oh, I'm actually ill for the next 7 weeks.
That would be
Are you, have you, like, has your mum passed on her hairdressing skills?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask her if she'd had any surgery then.
No. What have you had done?
Yeah, well, I've actually recently sellotaped my jowls to my ears. I'd like to, but I just think no.
No, I don't care about surgery.
What's the question?
Has your mum passed on any hairdressing skills to you?
Get away from the tongue, by the way. Get away from the tongue.
Yeah, it's making me nervous.
If you do singe me,
why don't you seriously?
If you do singe me, I will sue you.
I bet you've been singed before, anyway.
I've been singed. Yes, she has.
Yeah.
From 11 years old, I was in the shop washing the ladies' hair, scrubbing their hair.
Yeah.
Hello, you all right, Margaret? Can I get you a cup of tea?
Yeah,
coffee, biscuit. And I saw my mum. She did, back in the old days, it was like the back combing.
Everything
the
old was school. Big, everything up was high. Big.
But I know that. How to do a blow dry.
Nice.
Like the old school blow dry, where it's blow dried so beautifully and it stays.
Yeah.
I know her tips and her tricks for that. I've watched her do hair colours. I've watched her. The main thing I learned from my mum was not really the hair that she did, but the way that she made people feel in the chair. Mm. Like, we had men and women from all walks of life. We had, I remember there was one customer who had really bad alopecia.
Yeah.
And this customer was so anxious and nervous about her hair that my mum would really look after her and book her in when she knew no one else was around. And my mum would spend like literally hours on her hair, and it was something I talk about in my Edinburgh Fringe show. She would spend so long on her hair, back combing it, teasing it, primping it, that by the time she finished, it sort of multiplied.
Yeah.
And I don't know how my mum did it, whether it was the love, whether it was the back combing, whether it was the hairspray, but she made that woman feel good. And I saw that it was the time that she spent. Because don't you feel like hairdressers are almost like psychologists?
Absolutely.
Friends, you know?
Such an intimate relationship.
And killers with hairspray.
Yeah. It's a dry texturizer, actually.
Oh, okay.
Can we just get it right? You're either in fashion or you're not.
I don't know. I'm out of it. Aftercare.
So, Mary, I'm nearly there.
Oh my gosh, your hair looks so lush.
It looks pretty, doesn't it?
I just like the feeling of someone's hands on your head.
Do you?
If I could pay someone, yeah.
Can I just say, what is it, Let's ask people. Nice. Are you team touch my hair, baby, or team don't touch my hair? Some people don't like it. If someone touched my hair, I'd be like in heaven, in ecstasy.
Yeah.
I love having my hair and my scalp to,
Yeah, but does it not? Oh, that's...
Disciples. Right. No. Disciples.
Honestly.
Is it not dependent on who it is? If it's a stranger or it's like someone in the office and their hands come towards you like that, I'm like, back up.
If there's some random person on the tube and start touching your hair, obviously no. Just go.
Right, angels. So, Mary, you're feeling gorgeous and glamorous.
Amazing.
But tell us, listen.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Tell us how do you kind of keep your well-being together?
I have to move. I've got the energy of an 8-year-old child and I need to get it out of me.
Yeah.
And sometimes like sitting in a radio studio isn't going to do that for you.
Yeah.
So I'm just into my sports, my fitness. Last night I went to a gymnastics class with like seven girls never met before. We had a great time. We were roly-polying and cartwheeling and then also go climbing. So I've got like a group. We're all kind of like black or ethnic minority climbers and we just hang out like
you climb like one of those walls
like bouldering up a wall. Honestly, get you
up going
there.
On your own. I don't want to climb a wall.
It is so
roly-poly bit though.
Yeah. It's so like surprisingly fun because you can only do like one climb and then you have to rest for 5 minutes. So we just sit and chat and gossip. I feel like maybe it's on the same lines of being a hairdresser. You get everyone's gossip, you know, you get some movement in and you walk away, you feel good. So yeah, that's my key to wellness.
Well, on that line as well, walk away and feel good for the rest of your day.
You've been listening to Split Ends. edited by Barry Hoffman, exec produced by Sarah Burbage, starring Andrew Barton and Olga Thompson, aka Big Fat Greek Mother. And for more great hair days, make sure you subscribe to Split Ends with Andrew and Olga.